Let's get to our guest, George Boboris, head of research at K2 Asset Management. George, I do want to ask you about the Japan intervention, but let's save that for a moment. We did actually get the Fed pivot. It's just not the one that people were hoping for. This was a hawkish pivot. And in your mind, is this the type of thing that changes everything, or is it still the data that is key?
Yeah, good question. Good morning. It's still data dependent with more hawkish overtone. And you are right. It's the pivot that risk assets weren't anticipating to that degree. And you can amplify it a little bit and say it's the inversion of Mario Draghi, and that is whatever it takes, but to create slack in the economy and demand destruction. So it's got the conviction of Mario Draghi, but again, inverted. Again, tongue in cheek, of course, but there's nothing different from the 75 basis points was the lock from 6 weeks ago or 7 weeks ago with the payrolls. And I think people understood that we're now finally in that, you know, that 3.25 upper band restrictive territory. It's just that it's that outlook of where it peaks. But I think it's reasonable to say from inflation is that the jawboning will persist. They'll target that 4.5, 4.75. Anything lower with good data going forward is a rally for risk assets. And anything higher is that continues this this weakness to risk assets right across the capital structure.
George, but give me a sense here of how much pain for the economy the Fed can tolerate as they try and lay siege to the ogre of inflation.
Yes, well, they're making it very clear. And to be fair to the Fed, they've been the clearest communicator for central banks pretty much all year since their pivot of late last year or November. And their conviction is when you're looking at their rate hike cycle, it's much quicker, of course, than the 1994 unforgiving bond year. And it's already much quicker than the 1983 Volcker period, even though Volcker started with a bang and then plateaued out. So this is obviously suggestive, again, of a very strong economy before the Fed started this aggressive rate rise and before QT started, which is going to have its impact as well. So there's many moving parts, but it's so difficult to avoid a recession from this point. It's possible but highly improbable, many moving parts. Credit conditions are good still. Impairments are low.
Makes it very difficult for risk assets, and that's one of the thrusts of this program. And actually, George, in addition to the macro with the turbulent currencies and the soaring bond yields, now you're probably going to get big earnings revisions lower to provide yet another leg down. So this is a tough period no matter how you slice it.
Spot on. And those EPS downgrades will probably, in essence, match where the index is at the moment. So obviously the numerator's looking forward with optimism or not to a pessimism, but it will be matched by the downgrades, of course, on the denominator.
George, I mean, you've got 10-year yields at 3.71%, 2 years at over 4%. Now, of course, one part of my question is, what are they pricing in? And number two, are they now representing a buying opportunity?
They are representing a buying opportunity. I think extending duration would be the theme that we're taking on board. We've been very short duration all year, like 0.5-year Macaulay. So we're looking at substantial increases of duration towards that 3, 3.5 where the index is. So it presents value for the first time in a long while. The inversion is disturbing and it's very good at being predictive, notwithstanding that it flattened while everything's high right across the curve last night. But it's an indicative of the inflation risks, but we believe they'll get on top of the inflation risks. Again, second order condition, the US dollar strength all year is doing some of the Fed policy for it. It's just not coming through in the data as yet. And that needs to be noted. So we believe particularly 3.75-4 is where you really want to be extending the duration, senior unsecured quality, et cetera. And in the high yield, keep it short, keep it that 2-3 year duration because of obviously the credit risk from the bottom-up component of that part of the curve.
If you're trying to get capital appreciation, I mean, for the bond market to be all in on recession, you'd probably more likely expect an 18 basis point drop in yields on the 10-year.
Spot on.
So where is the crossover line where the action switches and people start buying bonds because they fear recession?
The crossover is looked at every day. Obviously, every day, future conditions are changing and expectations. And that crossover, it's very difficult to call the timing of it. But you'd have to say within the next 6 months, we're going to get that clarity of, is Fed funds rate really going to get to 4.5, 4.75, or 5? If it does get to any of those levels, it will stay notably higher. And the days of sub 2% are well gone behind us, regardless of the recession going forward. But the crossover is sometime in the next 6 months, extending that duration. Again, we've got to see weakness in the data in the labor market, in wage. We've got to see weakness in credit growth across North America. And we've got to see saving draw down a little bit more, which removes that cushion. So that demand destruction, unfortunately, is more painful for the economy in aggregate. So all those moving parts, looking at extending that. But you are right, last night's move is not conducive to them point towards a slowdown or hard recession immediately. But the jawboning and the direction of the swap and implied futures are all indicative of more chance of a hard landing than not. And let's just keep looking at the data. It's all macro. Look at the data and leading indicators.
Is it almost impossible to make the bull case here for risk assets?
Oh, yeah. Don't make that bull case at the moment. Just get comfortable being uncomfortable and look at the data month to month, bottom up, and let the CTAs have their year of their 1-in-7-year glory year. They've done very well. This is why you have it in the portfolio from an SAA benchmark. But yes, the bull case, no one's going to listen to you. Maintain your risk budget allocation. The wholesale mandates we have to be 100% long with retail. We spent some of that cash from the June correction, so got a little bit of cash in there, but no one's going to make the case, again, high yield or all the way down to convertible notes, cocoa bonds, whatever it may be, all the way to equity at the bottom of the capital structure. No one's going to listen at the moment, but maintain your commitment, focus on whatever part of the capital structure. Are there going to be impairment increases? Yes. How much will it affect my portfolio? On the bottom up, and you're looking at dividends, there are cushion, et cetera. But again, reinforcing a point, it's macro, data dependent, and I always tell the team, get comfortable being uncomfortable and just persevere.
George, many people have said that the whole sort of asset allocation, because you just mentioned allocation of 60-40 is essentially dead, but I put it to you that it's still alive if you go 60 in bonds and 40 in equities.
Yes, and that switch is a very good way to get people's attention, and that's the extension of duration narrative that should fit into that. But the 60-40 inverted. But at the end of the day, most pension funds on the planet do have a very good allocation of risk assets. And outside of the bond and the equities, they do have really good hedge funds, diversification, property, infrastructure, commodity, CTA. It's all in there. So that's what you've got to do. Diversify low R squareds across the portfolio.
George, thank you so much for joining us. George Baburis there from K2 Asset Management. His investment advice is get comfortable being uncomfortable.